John chapter 14, verse 12. That's where we've been kind of hanging out here for this series. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he may abide with you forever. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that today, Lord, we open up our hearts that we would hear from heaven. God, that you would just speak to each one of us. God, that we would become more mature in you. We would hear your voice clearer. God, that you would speak to those secret places in our hearts. God, those places that have just been maybe dogging us or nagging us or tempting us to just not trust you in an area. So, Father, we thank you right now that this word that goes forth, Lord, that it'll accomplish that which you sent it to do. Lord, I submit myself to you. Use me as the pen of a ready writer, God, that you would speak through me as I speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. We've been talking about coming up to a place of maturity that seems almost impossible to our natural mind. When we read verse 12 of John chapter 14, it seems quite impossible. It seems almost improbable that God would say that we would do the same works that Jesus did, right? Say the same works.
Same works.
And greater works.
Huh.
That is the thing that's mind-blowing. Because we know from the scripture, in the last 2 weeks we've gone over this, that how did Jesus act? What was his ministry looking like on planet Earth? Well, Acts 10:38 tells us what his ministry was like, and it was how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. Have you ever prayed for somebody and they didn't get healed? I have, right? But it's not my job to heal them. But it is my job to be connected with our Heavenly Father. It is my job to be walking in the anointing that God has for us. And if this standard of being able to work the same works as Jesus, now think about, what did Jesus do? Jesus healed. He went about doing good. He raised the dead. Wow. He fed the 5,000. Any of you fed 5,000 people before? Right? And I know we've got some great cooks here in Westchester Family Church, but I don't think that any of you have fed 5,000 people and you've been the chief cook, right? Praise God. I think some of you come close, because I during our potlucks and things of that nature, we've seen some really amazing food, but feeding 5,000 from just a few small loaves and fishes, I don't think so. But God is telling us here, I believe his word is true, that we can do the same works that Jesus did and greater. Because that's what he said. Now, this whole idea of God's asking us to come up to a higher level comes from Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, we hear what John the Revelator, the Apostle John, is caught up into heaven. But notice what it says there. It says, after these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. The word come is an invitation, and it's not an uncommon invitation that Jesus used. In fact, we know through the Gospels and through the epistles there are probably between, and there are some variations of this based on the Greek word that was used, but we're talking about 12 to 15 times that Jesus either implied come or he used the word come. Come is an invitation to be with somebody. It is an invitation to come and receive something. Pastor Christine was just talking about receiving, right? Receiving seed to sow, but also receiving, sometimes receiving a gift. Salvation was a gift. We had to receive it. But an invitation to come and to not only do the works of Jesus, and I don't think it's a stretch by saying that, but also do the greater works. God is giving us an invitation to come up to a place of revelation, to a place of maturity. Now, the first time that we really hear this idea of come from Jesus comes from Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, we see that Jesus is speaking in this particular passage. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And he says this, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." What powerful words. And if you think about when you came to Jesus, you were carrying a heavy load of sin. You were carrying a sin nature with you. You hadn't received the righteousness of God in Christ. So you were burdened and you were heavy laden with that sin, that guilt, that just, as Pastor Christine said, the muck and the mire. You're in that. And Jesus comes to each one of us. And he comes to the door of our heart. Many of us got a divine invitation. Perhaps you were at a church service and they, quote, gave an invitation. And people walked down an aisle to give their heart to Christ. I love the fact that in many of our traditions, I grew up in the Baptist tradition, and there was a tradition of coming down to the front. It was an invitation. If you ever looked at their service orders that they would print in their bulletins, it would say invitation. It was an invitation to come and to receive something from God. An invitation to come and receive rest. That's what the first thing that I hear, rest. Because when you are weary carrying your own burdens, carrying your own sin, carrying your own worries, you are burdened, you are heavy laden. And praise God for that word that we're receiving for our church this summer. That we're receiving a refreshment. We don't know exactly what that's going to look like. But boy, my expectation is I'm in line. Can you say I'm in line? Rest and refreshment. And when you look at what Jesus said here, he said, "I am gentle. I'm lowly in heart, and you will find rest for what? Your soul." What is your soul? Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. Sometimes our emotions need that because our emotions will try and rule over us if we'll allow them. Our emotions will put us into depression, anxiety, fear, worry, despair. Am I right? And all of our emotions have those same kind of characteristics. That's why we need to renew our mind. That's why we need to come together in the family of God and receive strength and encouragement for those times of need. Because we do have those times of need. We do have those opportunities. As Reverend Gary Crowell said just a little over a week ago, he said, you know, the Apostle Paul actually asked for prayer 6 or 7 times in the New Testament. He asked for prayer. So apparently he was going through something. So when you're going through something, don't just keep your mouth shut. When you're going through something, let somebody who can stand in faith with you help you receive the rest. Help you receive that rest. Because maybe your emotions, your mind, and your anxiety and all the worries and fears that are coming at you are just kind of starting to overwhelm you. And when that happens, church, when that happens, you might need to phone a friend.
That's good.
Because maybe you don't have the strength to really go and get it from God. You might not have the strength to go get it from God because you have been hit so hard in that soulish realm. But what did Jesus say? He said, come unto me. And sometimes you need a little help. You need a little help to come unto him. Come on, let's take this to prayer. Come on, let's believe God together. Aren't you glad for brothers and sisters who've done that for you in the past? Come on, let's believe God together. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray about this. Come on, let's pray about this. Let's get our eyes off the problem and let's get our eyes on Jesus. Sometimes we need that person in our life. And as a pastor, I'm the player coach. So I'm going to be doing that with you, but and have done that with you and continue to do that with you. But you also have that responsibility and that ability to reach out and to say, come on, let's pray about that. Let's pray about that. And sometimes in our culture, in our world, maybe it's just human nature. We just want to talk about the problem. We just want to give you all the details about the problem. And we just want to just keep talking about the problem. If we keep talking about the problem and get our eyes on off of Christ and off of what he did for us, we're going to still be not in rest. When we come unto him, we learn his heart for us. We learn that he's gentle. If there's correction that needs to be made in your life over this situation, he's going to be gentle, but he's going to tell you, hey, cut that out. He will. He'll say, cut that out. He'll be gentle. He loves you. As a good father, sometimes you tell your kids, don't do that anymore. Don't do it. What is that? That's correction. So he's gentle, lowly in heart. And it says this, you will find rest for your souls, right? And he says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Now, we don't use the word yoke in our culture so much. You know, yoke was designed to put two livestock, animals, beasts of burden or horses, putting them together to do work, to do something that was productive. And God says to us through Jesus, right here, Jesus's words, my yoke is easy. In other words, it's not going to be hard to put this yoke on, to learn of his ways, to learn his ways. And he says this, he says, for my yoke is easy, right? And he says, take my yoke upon you. That's a choice. That's a choice. Do you want to learn God's ways? Now, our opening scripture, and I haven't forgotten about it, was that God's calling us up to that higher level to do what? To do the same works that Jesus did and greater works. Flip back there real quick. John 14:12. That's the reason why we're hanging out in this chapter, because of what a tall order this is. What is he saying? He says, I say to you, He who believes in me. Now, if you're a believer in here, that's you. That's me, right? He who believes the works that I do. Think about all the things that Jesus did. Wow. Right? In fact, at the end of the book of John, it says, if the world couldn't even contain the books, the writings of all that Jesus did and said. That's a tall order. He says, the works that I do, he will do also, and what? Greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Wow.
Yes.
But where does that start? That starts with us actually receiving rest for our soul. When we come into salvation, God takes you and he transforms you. There is a metamorphosis that happens. There is something on the inside that comes alive. It is your spirit man. Your spirit man comes alive and connects to God. And as we've said the last 2 weeks, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, but we have a responsibility. Once that metamorphosis comes to our life, we've been born again. We've received new life in Christ. Then we have to renew our mind. We have to change the way we think. Why? Because that's our soulish realm. That's what, now go back, if you would, go back to Matthew. I know we're bouncing around a little bit, but I think you'll see why I'm doing this. God's calling us to come up. That invitation to come up, the first invitation is come and get some rest. Come and get some rest, because the enemy is a taskmaster. And sin is a taskmaster. And if you don't think that, just think back when you were living under his rule. Was there real happiness? No. Was there real contentment? No. Was there fun for a season? Yeah. But who really enjoyed waking up and hugging the toilet? Who really enjoyed hangovers? Who really enjoyed some of those things, the regrets, the guilt, and you're like, where did this guilt? Even when you are not a child of God, those emotions are taskmasters, and they just keep you in that bondage. Now, the vision of this church is that we know God better. Know God, right? Find freedom in him. The first place of freedom is finding this freedom of rest. That we find rest for our soul.
Yeah.
That we can find refreshment. That we've been born again. That the old is past, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The old is past, the new has come. There is a newness of life. When we are baptized, we are raised to life. We're raised to newness of life, to walk with him. This is what his yoke is all about. Learning his ways. Learning how he does things. Learning his voice and the rest that comes with that. Even when you've had a no good, awful, rotten day. And when you've had a no good, rotten, awful day, he's there. He's right there with you. And he can bring rest and refreshment and even answers when you have questions. God, how in the world did that happen? That was rough. That was terrible, right? And yet you can talk to him and you can have that conversation with him because you've taken his yoke upon you. Now, when you have a yoke on you, those animals, they have to move in one direction, right? That's what the yoke is designed to do. It's moving in the right direction. Now, when you yoke yourself up with, say, a wrong friend, right? You're just going to end up going in circles Because you're trying to butt against that, and they're trying to go the other way. But when you're yoked up with Jesus, that yoke is easy. That yoke is easy. When you're yoked up with the wrong crowd, that crowd's trying to pull you this way, and you're trying to go this way, and you're just going to end up doing this. And I think we got a lot of Christians who do this. But God's calling us up higher. He's calling us up to a refreshing. He's calling us up to rest. But he said this, take my yoke upon you. My yoke. Not the world's yoke, not the political yoke, not the cultural war yoke, but no, take my yoke upon you and start acting like me. I'm giving you a divine invitation is what God is saying. He's giving you a divine invitation to go do his works, to be a part of what he's a part of, to see lives change, to go do the works of Jesus. I have to tell you, the first time that I led somebody to the Lord, I was on a high for a good solid week. I was on a high for a good solid week. I was. There is nothing like participating in the works of God. There is nothing like it. And if you haven't discovered it, that yoke is easy. And that yoke is light. Because it's not a burden. It's not a heavy burden. You're not constantly going like this, fighting against it. No, instead, it's like getting on a smooth highway and going down the road. Why? Because he gives us the Holy Spirit. Now, he said that in our chapter that we opened with, in John chapter 14. He says, I'm going away, but I'm sending somebody just like me. Just like me. What does he say? I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that he will do also, the greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And then continuing on, and whatever you ask in my name, I will do that the Father may be glorified. It always brings glory to God, right? And then what does verse 14 say? If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. When you take God at his word, hallelujah. And I mean, you step out in faith, believing that, all heaven backs it up, man. I'm telling you. It's incredible when you step out in faith that way. Verse 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I wonder why he threw that in there. Because the love walk is so important. Walking in love and staying in his love guards and protects us. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father. He'll give you another helper. Glory to God. Aren't you glad? He didn't leave us alone. And he said, I'm going to give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Jesus would retreat from his disciples and go pray. And he wasn't around. Think just for a minute, if you know any Bible stories, he would kind of disappear, wouldn't he? He'd disappear, and what was he doing? He was communing with his heavenly Father. That is an example for you and me to find rest. Communing with our heavenly Father. Communing with our heavenly Father. It was relationship. It was relationship, relationship, relationship. Every time he would go and seek out his Father, he would go and retreat. Now, on one occasion, he actually brought Peter, James, and John. He actually brought Peter and James and John up a mountain, a different place, a higher level, brought them up, and he was transfigured before them. So that invitation is yours and mine too. If we would come up, take his yoke upon us. Now I'm going to get further into this next week. But I want to just encourage you right now that if you need rest for your soul, if you need rest for your soul, He's got it for you. If you need rest, I'm talking about today, June 1st, 2025, you need rest for your soul. You're like, I need rest for my soul. Because my mind, will, and emotions are screaming. But I need the peace that passes understanding to guard my heart and my mind by Christ Jesus. That's what I need right now. And I'm telling you right now, He wants to meet you wherever you are. Wherever you are. If you're watching online, if you're here in this place, that peace, that presence that we felt in worship, that presence that He promised to give is yours right now. If you'll just take His yoke upon you right now. You say, I've done that my whole life. Great. Do it again. If there's one thing that the Apostle Paul told us, he says, it's no trouble for me to remind you of these things. Sometimes you need to be reminded. Take His yoke. Take His yoke. Take His yoke upon you. Take His yoke upon you. He's humble. He's gentle. And you will find rest for your souls. I don't know who it is in here, but somebody has been really, really dealing with insomnia. You're not sleeping. You're not sleeping. I'm not going to call you up here, but if you would just, you say, that's me, and I know God's going to touch me right now. I want you just to stand right where you are. I'm going to come find you. All right, and I'm going to pray for you. I just see it in my spirit right now. That's what I'm supposed to do. So if there's anybody, you're here and you're saying, I'm having trouble sleeping. I am just having a lot of trouble sleeping right now. Anybody in here? I know what I heard. I know what I heard. Don't be bashful. Please, I'm not going to embarrass you. If you're having trouble sleeping, God wants to meet you. He wants to meet you right where you're at. He wants to meet you. Just go ahead. Lift your hand. Lift your hand. You don't feel like standing? Lift your hand. I know there's somebody in here. I know it. I know it that I know it that I know it. You're having trouble sleeping. Thank you. Thank you. I'm coming over to you. I'm going to pray for you. Church, just start praying right now.
Lord, we give you praise and honor. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We trust you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. Come on, church. Let's just declare what is true. I trust you, God. I trust you, God. I trust you to give me the rest that I need. I trust you, Lord, to take care of my soul. I trust you, God, to take care of my mind. I trust you, God, to take care of my mind.